Well, we have quite the special episode for you guys. We have not really done this format formally. I think we did it informally with another artist, but yeah. Welcome to the first ever formal She Will Rock You album release special with our friend Rachel McIntyre Smith. She just dropped like literally 3 days ago at this point. We're recording this on October 3rd. Happy Mean Girls Day.
Mm-hmm.
And she just dropped her debut EP called Glory Days, and we talked all about it, like literally all about it. This is the tell-all be-all for this album, I believe. My dogs are barking. They're joining in the fun. So without further ado, I'm Leah.
I'm Beth Ann.
And this is She Will Rock You.
Where are they getting a dove in a CPS executive meeting?
No.
Bitch, don't touch my thermostat.
The ghost be like, hold up, before I haunt you, let me turn down the thermostat.
Who is this man?
We're on page one, guys.
This is She Will Rock You.
So we are joined tonight by friend of the pod, Rachel McIntyre Smith, for her second appearance on She Will Rock You to talk about her debut EP, Glory Days. Welcome back.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you guys for having me on a second time.
Of
Congrats
course.
On the album launch. How's it feel?
It feels like there's so much different stuff that's happening. It's really kind of overwhelming, but that's a good thing. I mean, it's all really good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've been working on this for over a year now. So the fact that it's all here and all happening now, it's like all the good stuff that's happened to me in the past year has happened in the past weekend.
Yeah.
So it's like very condensed, great stuff. I've kind of just been like a human exclamation mark this whole past week. Just like so excited about everything. And I'm really excited to have it out finally.
That's so awesome.
I love the human exclamation mark.
That's Leah. She literally is a human exclamation mark.
I only speak in exclamations.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I used to try to be like cool. Like I don't care. Like I'm sort of apathetic. And then I'm like through and through, I'm an enthusiastic person. If I'm doing something, I'm going to do it enthusiastically. I'm always kind of like that as well. Leah.
Live up to your brand.
Exactly.
You got to be who you are.
Yes. So what's been your favorite part so far of album launch week? Weekend. I guess it's only been 3 days at this point, but
yeah. Probably the thing that has really touched me the most is I've gotten a whole lot of DMs, a whole lot of comments of people saying that different songs that they relate to and they listen to the album. And I have to give a huge shout out to this country music YouTuber named Grady Smith, because last week almost a month ago at this point, I made a TikTok explaining to him why I thought he would like my music, because I watched his channel for a long time. And last week he shared to all of his like 180,000 plus subscribers on YouTube my song Glory Days with a really nice review telling everyone they need to go check it out. And so if you look at this, the YouTube analytics for this video, it literally looked like a right angle of how quickly it shot up in views. And so suddenly like all these people that they've not heard my music before, they were discovering my music right before the EP came out. And so they were excited to hear it. And so a bunch of people that I had not connected with before, they hadn't heard my music before last week, were sending me really nice messages. And hearing the people that they would compare my music to or how it touched them or the different songs that resonated with them, it really just, it made my whole weekend. Like they're real people. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes hard on the internet to be like, oh, you see these numbers, you see whatever. It's hard for it not to feel like it's just a statistic. But whenever you get these comments and you get these DMs, it's like, oh, there's a real person and they're actually listening to my music. So it was really cool.
That is super cool. That's amazing. That, like, especially because what you said is spot on. We just see statistics. We just see numbers. We don't know if they're real. But having those personal connections and touches, I think that's what the whole ball game is about. Like that, communication, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially in the age of social media, you get so caught up in follower count or the number of streams you get or whatever that you forget that there's real people behind them. And I mean, sometimes on TikTok and Instagram, they're bots, mm-hmm. but, you know, a lot of times they're real people. And if, you know, even I don't have a huge Instagram following, I only have like 1,000 or so people that follow me on Instagram at this point. But if 1,000 people were in a room listening to my music, it would be a lot of people, but they just, yeah. you know, you don't really think about that since it's just on screen.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. But if the bots want to stream, are we going to say no?
Absolutely not.
Bee, boo, boo, bop, boo, boo, bop. only a niche audience is going to get that reference.
It might just be the three of us.
It might be. If you get that, let us know, because I'm going to be impressed. So I thought we would go through each track of this album and let you tell us what inspired it, any kind of fun behind the scene facts, whatever you want to talk about.
Perfect.
So we'll start with Glory Days, the opening track title.
So Glory Days, it's interesting because Glory Days, it kind of seems now that that's what the whole EP revolves around because it's the title track. However, I had already come up with the EP title before I had written the song. The song that actually was the base of this whole EP was The Woods. And the reason I didn't have The Woods is the title track or the main theme of it was because I felt like if I had one theme, like a whole EP that was based around the theme of The Woods, it would be way too depressing for my overall brand. And I wanted to come up with a concept that included The Woods, but also included like High School Reunion and Miss Highfalutin and like my funner upbeat songs. And so I came up with this concept of Glory Days, D-A-Z-E, to be like sort of fit in with High School Reunion, the vibe of like looking back on that way, and then also The Woods of wondering what could have been. And but I originally thought that Glory Days was going to be this really fun, upbeat, like 1970s-esque, like bell-bottom sort of vibe. But I was just way too depressed at this point. And I just could not find it within me to write a happy song about looking back on the glory days. And so I tried for a while to write this upbeat thing. And then I was like, I just need to stop fighting this and actually write exactly what I'm thinking. And so that was a complete shift from a lot of the stuff that I had put out before. And so once I was like, I'm not going to try to do this upbeat. I'm not going to try to put any gimmicky thing. I'm just going to shoot straight with the people and tell them exactly how I feel about this right now. The words just flowed out really easily. So when I wrote it, I was just going to do a demo version of it to get it sort of out of my head of how I envisioned the harmonies on it and all that sort of stuff. And when I did that, I was like, I might as well just record myself doing this. And so I made a video of it. And one night I just posted it to TikTok, not really thinking anything of it because I post a lot of stuff on TikTok and a lot of people related to it. And I'm really happy that they did, because that gave me the confidence to put out other more vulnerable music. I was sort of worried about putting out something that was so different than Baggage, High School Reunion, Blue Hawaii. That a lot of people gravitated towards that song on TikTok and were waiting for it to come out. So I made that the first single for the project, and I had not even thought that that was going to be one of the singles. I just thought that was going to be the title track of it. So that was really exciting, and that's kind of the behind the scenes of how that song came to be.
So when you dropped that song, I have to drive past my high school every morning, and so I had put on my like New Music Friday, and I'm literally driving past my high school, and it's like this is too much for 5 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have to revisit this later because I can't process what's going through my brain right now.
That's a lot to listen to going to CrossFit, Leah.
Yeah, it was not the vibe.
Also, I think that anything is too much for me at 5 in the morning.
Correct.
That's way too early for me to process anything.
It's like, do I miss being young or the ignorance? I don't know. It's too early to think about that. That's a 3 p.m. problem.
That was really just out of the blue. Was not expecting that to be the thing that people really latched onto. But I think that there's a whole generation of folks who kind of feel like they got robbed of the best years of their life the past few years. Because when the pandemic started, I was fresh out of college. And there's a whole lot of memories that most people make during that chunk of time that we missed out on. And I don't know if you guys experienced this, but all the time when I was in school and I was stressed out, everybody was always like, your early 20s, your 20s is the best years of your life. Like after you get out of school, you're going to like have such a great time, blah, 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 blah.
Lies.
So I had these expectations.
Sorry, continue.
Yeah, they were just straight up lies.
No, they're pretty awful, actually.
Yes, yeah. It is.
And so I think that a lot of people are sort of feeling that, like, where has the time gone? Because we've had this big gap. So I think that that's why a lot of people resonated with it. And I think that there's quite a large crowd of people going through their quarter life crisis on TikTok. So I just managed to find them.
Nice. Good market. Good market.
Yeah.
The stars have aligned.
Yes.
So next up is Queen of Our Hometown.
Queen of Our Hometown was the second and only song that I wrote after I came up with the concept of Glory Days. And I wrote it, well, once I had Glory Days and I had sort of figured out the other tracks that I wanted to put on the EP, I was trying to think of like, where's the gap in this storyline? Like, what's missing from this overall picture of what I'm trying to convey in this EP? And I was like, there's not really anything like feel good hometown, like the way that it feels whenever you go home. And a while back, my sister had told me that I should write the song called Queen of Our Hometown. She just texted me randomly. It's like, Queen of Our Hometown would be a great song title. Write it. And this was 2+ years ago. And so I had kept a note in my phone of like possible song titles. So I was scrolling through and I found this one. And it was initially inspired by two different women that are from my hometown that in our community, they are just such bright lights. They go to the grocery store, everybody's stopping them to talk about them. If they show up at an event, like everybody's making a beeline. And they moved away to pursue their different career paths and all that sort of stuff. But I was just like, I wonder if they're as appreciated where they are now as where they would, how much they'd be appreciated if they were back home. Because even if they go off and do all this stuff, they come back and they're really the queen of our hometown. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves them. And then as I was writing it, I was like, it's not really about being the queen of your hometown. It's about going where people make you feel special. Mm-hmm. And, the hook of the song is, we can't give you the world, but we'll give you a crown because you're the queen of our hometown. Because a lot of times, small towns, hometowns, they can't give the career opportunities that you get whenever you go off to a bigger city or you pursue your education or whatever direction life takes you. But a lot of times your hometown is where people remember you whenever you were little. They know your parents. They know, they still remember stories about you growing up, and they just care about you and they're more invested than just the average person. And so they can't give you the world, but they'll make you feel really special. And that was really what the main inspiration was behind that. And it came at a time when I was not living in my hometown. I was living in Chattanooga and I was in a 1-bedroom apartment. It was, I was living by myself. It was really dark and cold outside. And I was just like really lonely. I had sort of isolated myself. And I was just thinking about like the way it feels whenever you go home. I'm definitely not the queen of my hometown by any stretch of the imagination. But whenever I show up at church with my dad on Sunday, or I go into Food City and people smile at me and they know, you know, it's just like a really nice feeling. And so I channeled all those feelings into that song. And I'm happy with how it came out. And it's just like a really fun, heartwarming song. I feel like I need to figure out how to get it on like a Hallmark movie or something.
it would be a good fit. It's my personal belief that there's not enough music that romanticizes your hometown, so I love it. It's all about getting out and like starting a new life.
That's deep too. That's not like boy meets girl normal plot point. This is like layers and layers and layers of thought. So kudos to you, because I don't feel like a lot of people, well, I should step back. I don't feel like there's an emphasis as much in the record industry to focus on those layers. Mm-hmm. It's just get to point A to point B.
Go by.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, it's kind of funny, on the EP, there's this like juxtaposition of track 2 is Queen of Our Hometown. Track 5 is Miss Highfalutin, which is about someone that moves away that gets like thinks they're too cool for our hometown. So there's like both sides of it. So there's that.
It takes all types.
Oh yes. Yeah. I mean there's both types in every hometown. And so yeah, I wanted the EP to sort of encapsulate that feeling of like nostalgia, hometowns, and going away, but then coming back, and like mm-hmm. the different ways that is. And so that's how I justify having Queen of Our Hometown and Miss Highfalutin, like the same condensed body of work.
I love it though.
Thank you.
Now the cat's trying to let herself out.
Nice.
Next is The Woods, which is my favorite. Probably one of my favorite songs to come out this year. It is so good. I've listened to it on repeat. Every time I listen to it, I hear something different in the words. Like, these lyrics, God tier lyrics.
Thank you so much. The Woods, I wrote The Woods about probably over a year ago now, like a year and a half ago. And it all started with, I was at the beach with my best friend and we were at a bonfire. It was only the two of us. We were on the bonfire on the beach, 3 a.m. And so, you know, like bonfire conversations, how those go. There was just, we were getting really deep and she was just like, so have you ever thought about reaching out to your ex? If you have not, I mean, obviously you haven't. So why haven't you? And she said that, and I gave an answer. I don't even remember what I said right then, but that question just sort of like hung in my brain for a very long time. And for the next few weeks, I was just thinking of like all the different questions of what I would want to know before I reach back out to him. Like, how would things be if we patched things up and we ended up getting back together? What would that look like? Would his family be able to forgive me? Would he be able to, you know, think that I was going to leave him again? Like, how, what would our friends say? What would any of that sort of be like? And then also, like, before I would even reach out to him, would he even want to hear from me? Would he be upset if I reached out to him? Would, you know, all these sorts of questions. And I had so many. They were just like swirling around in my brain. And I just started writing them all down because I felt like I was sort of like plucking them out of my head and putting them on the page. And I wrote them all down and I still have it was like a list on my iPad and I had like so many questions. And after I wrote them, it was like, I was able to sort of exhale and be like, okay, here they are on this page. I can look at them now. But then I was also able to see it and think, I feel like there's a song in here somewhere, but I don't really know where it is. And so I got my guitar and I went out on my parents' front porch, and they live in really pretty area with surrounded by woods in East Tennessee. And I was sitting out there with my iPad, my guitar, with this list of questions. And I was looking through it, trying to sort of pick out, like, what are the main points here? What's the common thing? And it kept on being like, would he do this? Would I do this? Would we do this? And so I just started picking around, singing some of these things on my guitar. And I looked over at the woods that was next to my parents' house. And I was like, I know I could, maybe I should, but I never will. So I live in the woods. And like the second I said that, I was like, this is the song. This is where the direction it's going to go. And so I looked through the list of questions I had and sort of divided them up into the categories of like, what was the main question I was really asking? Because they got really nitpicky and really specific. And I was like, okay. I sort of gathered the main ones. And that's what built the chorus. And then sort of the superfluous questions ended up in the bridge. And then I built sort of like this wood, like actual forest metaphor imagery into the verses. And within probably an hour or so, I had the whole song finished once I had the actual concept of it together. And so that one was one of those songs that after I finished writing it, I was like, oh my goodness, I've been able to articulate something that I was thinking for a very long time. And it felt like really relieving to have this thing that I could then show people and be like, this is what I think about this. This is how I've been thinking about this for a long time. And so when I did that, I played it for some of my mom, my sister, and they both really liked it. And so I knew that was one of the next songs I wanted to record, but it was such a different song than Blue Hawaii that I was kind of, that was the last song I had recorded before The Woods. Ooh. And so for anyone listening, Blue Hawaii is like the opposite end of the spectrum.
Completely.
It is like,
you're just showing that you can write variety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is a beachy country song filled with innuendos and beach puns, and so The Woods is like completely different. I was worried about sending that to my producer and be like, hey, so this is what I want to work on now. So that was interesting, but he loved the song. And when we actually came time to record it, I didn't know exactly the vibe I wanted. When we started recording it, I was thinking it was going to be more of like a slow burn vibe. But then we started recording it and I just felt like it was like a little bit too reverby, spacey. And there was like a 2-week break in between our recording sessions. And during that 2-week break, it was the start of fall last year. And so I was walking outside a lot. I was listening to a lot of bluegrass because I weirdly associate bluegrass with the beginning of fall. And I was listening to a lot of Alison Krauss. And when we got back into the recording studio, I was like, actually, how about we do banjo, take out the electric guitar, put in some mandolin, let's do some 3-part harmony. And at first, because it was a cool vibe that we had going, but it wasn't the direction that I really felt like it should take, since I wanted it to feel like, whenever I think of like the actual woods, I think much more acoustic sort of vibes. And so that was sort of the recording process.
Okay. First love. The first time I heard this, the opening riff immediately made me think of Remember When by Alan Jackson.
Oh, it kind of does.
But just like that, it's like the same first note or something. And I kind of did a face and I was like, same vibes.
First love. I haven't really talked about this one very much. So this is like one of the first times I'll be talking about it. So I, at the start of the pandemic, when I moved home, I started looking through, like trying to organize things to make myself busy. Mm-hmm. And in the closet that was in my bedroom, I had all of this old, like, nostalgic stuff. I had the corsage from all my proms. I had like all these ticket stubs that I had saved from dates I had gone on with my first love and like all these different things, all these pictures we had together, everything that I had just sort of thrown into a box when we broke up. And I was looking at it and I was like, I should throw this away. But then it was also, we dated for over three years. So I'm like, but that's also like my life. This is a significant portion of my life, you know? And so I did not throw it away. And so then I was like feeling weird about it. And I was like, man, this is like a total has-been move to just like save all of this stuff. And like a little while later, completely separate story. I live in a town that has quite a bit of drug activity. There's a lot of meth. I mean, it's not just Oliver Springs. There's in general Appalachia. There is a lot of drug activity that happens. And so my dad is on this mission to sort of clean up the main road of our hometown. He's been buying up the drug houses and he's been either tearing them down or remodeling them to make them a safer area because it's right in front of where the school is at. And so it was just like not a good place to have a meth house, like right across the street from the high school. Yeah. I literally saw drug deals happen while I was sitting in chemistry class, but that's a whole different, thing.
That's some Breaking Bad shit.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it really is still, it's a problem. But at least now there's not as many drug houses that are so close to the school. And so there were some people that my dad was dealing with to get these houses settled and everything. And we were hearing a lot of experiences about people in that area who had been affected by the drug addicts that lived in those houses. And it really just, I know it's such a stupid thing because I mean, addiction is such a big issue. But my dad was talking about it and I was like, I genuinely, like, I cannot comprehend the thing that happens to people's brains that they start doing this thing that takes them like away from their community, away from their family. Like it, they obviously are not advancing in their career. Like it just completely encapsulates their brain. And my dad said, well, you know, I've heard that addicts spend their entire lives trying to get the level of the first time that they got high. They always are trying to get back to that first high and they're never going to get it, but they're always trying to get back to it. And so when he said that, I was like, I mean, obviously this thing that I was dealing with, not anywhere as serious as addiction. But I was like, that seems like a line of a song. And it sort of just like connected. I was like, is this what I'm doing? Because I have not really dated much. And every time that I start to talk to a guy, it's like, well, this really isn't as good as the first guy I dated, or this isn't as good as this. And so it's like, why do I keep comparing everything back to this person? Because it's sort of like made me into a has-been because I keep comparing everybody to this guy. And so that's where the original sort of song thing came from. And that one probably took the longest to write because I was just really just getting out everything that I felt about that. And it's not as polished as my other lyrics are. Like my other songs are usually encapsulated in some sort of metaphor or something like that. But I was really just getting out exactly what I was thinking in a more direct way than I normally did. And I was not expecting that I was actually going to record this one because it was just really vulnerable on a different level that I had never really put out in my songs before. And I played it for my friend, Chelsea, my best friend, who was also the bonfire friend. And she was like, this is my favorite song. Like you've got to have this one on the record. And So I'm really happy with how it turned out. And I'm happy that my producer also really liked the song. And he was like, after we had this vibe going with it, mm-hmm. it's like, I really think that this one may even need to be a single, but I mean, it didn't end up being one, but I really do like how it came out. And it's, the chord progression of it, it sort of just like goes in a loop. And that was intentional because that's sort of how it felt in the process of like, keep coming back to the same thing over and over again. Why do I keep on rehashing these thoughts and these memories and all this sort of stuff? And so that's sort of how First Love came to be.
Mm. I like that part where there's a cycle in the music. That's really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I really like it whenever music sort of sounds how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a key part in writing that song.
I'm going to go listen to that one again after this. It's like a fresh perspective because that was more than I thought that would be in that song. So then you completely changed gears with Miss Highfalutin.
This is the one I'm excited to hear about.
Which,
well, I've been waiting for this whole interview.
This
when
whole
we
time.
Get into the Highfalutins.
How often do you have to explain the title to people? Because I noticed you were having to post a lot of Highfalutin means, do people not know what that means outside of the sound?
So, okay. Last week, I saw my sound mixer for this EP. And the first thing he said to me was, oh my goodness, Rachel, I didn't realize until last week that highfalutin is a Southern word. He said, the whole time I was mixing this, I thought you just hated this person with the last name highfalutin. And
that's a terrible last name.
Yeah. He was like, I thought it was so bizarre. It's like, I thought it was so bizarre that you were just calling this girl out. Like,
oh,
your level of rage
so
for
funny.
This girl and Miss Highfalutin was just like off the charts. And he said that his girlfriend was saying something, and his girlfriend's from the South, and she said something was highfalutin. And he said that he was like, what word just came out of your mouth? And she explained it, and he was like, I mixed this song for a while and I had no idea what it meant. So there are quite a few people that don't know what highfalutin
means. That's hilarious.
That's if so there are funny. Any listeners who don't know what highfalutin means, it's a Southern way of saying like stuck up, uppity, condescending, too big for your britches kind of thing. And so yeah, that one was like communicating to people what highfalutin meant was a big part of the marketing for that song, just to make sure that like, I mean, I know what highfalutin means because I grew up in the South, but I'm also mm-hmm. enamored by Southern dialect and phrases and just like random words that why do we use these things? Like, how do they even come to be?
In New York, we call that a bitch.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't. Actually, there are quite a few words that rhyme with that. Next EP, yes. We'll just have yes. Miss Bitch. So yeah, that was sort of a barrier with that song. Just like letting people know what that meant. This isn't about someone specific, and. So this song is actually the first country song that I ever wrote. I wrote this a long time ago, like when I was not a long time ago, good grief, I'm not that old, but I wrote it when I was in college. I was a sophomore in college, and growing up, I was not really that big into country music. I listened to like classic country that would play in Cracker Barrel, like those kind mm-hmm. of vibes. But I really was, and I listened to Taylor Swift, but I was not really into the like the early mid 2000s, 2010, that vibe of country.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had heard someone tell me about this song that was about biscuits. And I was like, this just seems so stupid. I just have to go listen to it. And it's Biscuits by Kacey Musgraves. It's such a good song. It's so clever. It's so funny. And I just became enamored with that album. And that really opened up my whole world of like to country music and the kind of songwriting that I wanted to do, because I loved that on that album, she was able to explain sort of like small town life and explain these stories, but in a humorous way and also mm-hmm. a poignant way. Like it was just like a really cool mix of how everything could come together. And I loved how she was able to sort of turn a phrase and give something a new meaning. And so after I was spent months obsessing over this album, I just started Googling like Southern phrases, because I was like, oh my gosh, I have to write a song that's like about this thing. And so the word, I looked up this list and the word highfalutin just like jumped out at me. And this was around a time when I had been in school for about a year, but I was starting to notice like all these people that I had gone to high school with that moved away and had gone to a different place. They were suddenly like tweeting things about like how stupid Oliver Springs was, how all people there were dumb, and mm-hmm. how the high school didn't prepare them for life after school, which personally offended me because my mom was a teacher there and like mm-hmm. she worked really hard to help these kids. And so I was just like, it was just really like, it just made me mad. And so I Googled this list while we were on our way to my aunt's house in Nashville for Christmas. And I initially, like the second I saw Highfalutin, I was like, this is the song, because I'm going to write this about this sort of trend that's happening with all these people that think they're too good for our hometown. Mm-hmm. And so the second that I said Highfalutin, like the first words that are coming to my head are like polluting, like I don't know. And so like within a few minutes I had the hook, like your bad vibes are polluting this air I'm trying to breathe, so don't bother coming home before maybe bed, like all the chorus. And by the time that I got to my aunt's house for Christmas, I'd already written the song. And so that was the first country song that I ever wrote. And that was why it was important for me to include that on this EP, since this is like my first professional body of work I'm putting out. I wanted to include that on there. And side note, when I was in college, I didn't know how music was recorded. I didn't know how any of this happened. And there was a recording studio at my college. So I would go in there like 3 hours at a time, because that was all you could reserve. And I would record demos of my songs in GarageBand. And I had no idea how GarageBand worked. These were like, honestly, pretty trash recordings. But I had no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And so Miss Highfalutin was one of the ones that I recorded. And when I graduated, really without any thought, I released these 13 demos and I was like, this is my debut album. None of these things were mixed. None of these things were like professionally done. I had done like no promo. Nobody even really knew that I was doing music. And the reason I just like all of a sudden was just like, here's my debut album, like no whatever, was because I had been asked to be on the local NPR station and do like an interview. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I have to have something out for people to go hear, even though they're not good. Anyways, didn't make a lot of sense.
We've all been there where we just rushed it and hodgepodge it together, whether it's music or just a normal project.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just put that out and over the years, like I really didn't like how they turned out. They were up for about a year and a half or 2 years. And the second that High School Reunion came out, I wiped that from every single thing, because it was just the High School Reunion was the first single that I ever worked on with my producer. And it just sounded like actually good, like the production and how it was mixed and everything. And I was just like, you know, if somebody likes High School Reunion and then they hear this just like garage band demo stuff, like they're gonna be like, who is this girl, you know? And so took that down, but Miss Highfalutin was one of the songs that was on there. And when I started recording this with my producer, he wanted to know like what the vibe was for this song. And I was like, well, I don't want you to copy this production because it's not good, but here's the recording that I had of it previously. So here's the vibe. And the vibe of it previously was very reminiscent of like pageant material sort of thing, because that was what I was obsessed with at the time. And he heard it and then immediately was like, okay, this is completely not the same thing. However, what about this vibe? And he started playing this sort of like swampy acoustic riff. And the second he started playing that, I was like, absolutely, this is the vibe. Let's completely abandon this demo. And so I'm really happy with how it turned out. And I told him I wanted it to be like a fun song that people could solo on. And it's really funny because I don't know if y'all's coping mechanism is humor, but I put this directly after First Love because I feel like First Love is like, it goes like the deepest. And then I have this tendency just like, I'll go really deep with someone and just like completely flip a switch and be like, okay, well that depressing girl's gone. So like it's the
Taylor Swift that? Switch from Soon You'll Get Better to False God. It's like, yes. Don't be sad.
Yes. So it's like, I was like, oh yeah, that depressing girl in track four, who is she? Now we're like upset if the girls from our hometown think they're too cool. So let's just move on from that.
It's like the meme, oh no, anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I wanted it to be like a complete flip of, don't get too hung up in this because there's also this side, you know, to my personality. It's not all like extremely sad and depressing. And so yeah, that the switch between track four to track five just cracks me up every time that I'm like listening through the whole project.
I appreciate the flip in tone. Shout out to your production team on that note, because it's mixed so well and it's such like a professional sound for a debut EP. I definitely noticed it because we get all kinds of submissions here on the show, some more polished than others, and this is definitely one of the most polished debut EPs.
Thank you so much. I really can't say enough good things about my producer, Dran Michael. He was the only producer on it, so and he also plays pretty much every instrument that you hear on it. So it was just us two that were in the studio, and then we had someone.
And the dog.
Yes, and the dog. yeah, Lulu. Oh my goodness! Wait, I brought my CD here just to like be like, yes. But
is she in there?
So I put like when I was doing special things, I put Lulu the studio dog. Because Lulu is my producer's dog and he brought her in pretty much every day that we were recording because he knew how much that I was obsessed with this dog. And Lulu just brought a different energy. I mean, sometimes she was like trying to bite off my foot and chew on everything. But she also brought a lot of levity, especially when we were working on like the sadder songs. And she was able to sort of be a diversion. Like if we got really hung up on like one specific thing, it's like, okay, let's go play with Lulu for a second. Or like, yeah, put Lulu out. Like it was something that like broke it up, you know? And so, yeah, huge shout out to Lulu. But Dran did an incredible job working on this. He played banjo, mandolin, guitar, bass guitar, electric guitar. And then I sang the vocals. We had a drummer come in for high school. We had a drummer come in for Miss Highfalutin and for First Love. And we had a steel guitar player play on a lot of these tracks, but those were the only musicians. And then I played on them as well. But it was a very small sort of thing that we put together. So it's really all credit to Dran for it coming out how it did. And then also my mixer, Oliver Gray, did an amazing job. But I'm really proud to have worked with them and grateful for the opportunity to work with them, because they've worked with some really, really cool, much more impressive artists than me. And so I'm just appreciative that they gave me their time to work on this.
Sorry, the cat is doing paranormal activity over here. I see her. I don't know what she's doing.
I just see this
really
one tail on your white wall.
I think she's playing with another cat through the bottom of the door, and that's why she's upside down. The final track on the album, which we talked about on the show before, is High School Reunion, the one that started it all.
Mm-hmm. Yes. High School Reunion is kind of like if I was turning Glory Days into a joke, it would be High School Reunion, because I initially started writing High School Reunion right at the start of the pandemic in 2020, because I was class president when I was in high school. And part of the horrific duties of being class president when you're a senior is you have to plan every single high school reunion for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And right before the pandemic hit, I had gotten lunch with one of my friends who was a fellow class officer, and he was like, well, we're about to have to start planning the 10-year reunion. And it had not even occurred to me that it had been almost 10 years. I mean, it hadn't been 10 years at this point. We had barely reached the halfway mark. It was a little bit premature of him to be like, we've got to start planning this. But anyways, shout out to him for starting my quarter life crisis. So I, like, right after that, the pandemic hit and I moved home. I was sleeping in the same twin bed that I had slept in when I was in college, and I hadn't lived there permanently since I had been in high school. And so I started writing, like putting together some lyrics, and honestly, they were really sad. And then I just, like, part of it was I realized other people were going through this as well. But then the other part of it was I wasn't really ready to tell people exactly how I was feeling about the situation, that I was not really joking about it. I wasn't really laughing about it. So I turned it into like this really upbeat, just like, you know, we're all trying to get to achieve our dreams out here, but we may not get there, and just sort of like laugh it off in a way. And so that's what High School Reunion became. And it's funny because I didn't even realize this whenever I decided later that I wanted to put this song on an EP called Glory Days, but I say the phrase Glory Days in High School Reunion, which
I noticed that,
like, it was not even like intentional that would be like the end song, and then the actual song Glory Days would be the first song.
Cool.
But it was just one of those things that, like, after I noticed it, I was like, this was what it was supposed to be. Like, this was all supposed to come together like this.
It's a good end slate.
Yes. Yeah. And it sort of makes it seem like much more cohesive. And I think that it flows with the EP, because I really wanted the EP to be like a storyline to tell sort of like my experience over the past few years having this sort of quarter life crisis. And it starts with Glory Days, which is really honest, vulnerable, and sad. But then it ends on this like lighter, happier note of, you know what, we're all going through it. Let's just keep on going. Because that's kind of the place where I really am at now, of just sort of being like, you know what, we're all doing the best we can do. And so it's sort of like Glory Days was like the realization that this was all happening in my head. And then High School Reunion is like the acceptance of it and just moving on. Because in Glory Days, I say, I moved away, but never moved on. And so it's like High School Reunion is kind of that moving on point in the in this like storyline of the overall EP. And so I'm really happy that that was the first song that I did put out with my music once I started producing it professionally, because a lot of people that I had not talked to since high school reached out, and I was able through releasing High School Reunion, I ended up feeling a lot better about my actual high school reunion. Because people were just like really nice about it, and they were sending me things like, yeah, like, isn't life crazy? Like, this is not at all what we thought it was going to be like, was it? Mm-hmm. And through that song, I did a lyric video where I had people send me their high school photos. And so I was able to incorporate over 80 of them into a yearbook style lyric video for it. And it was really cool to see people's responses of like, I'm so excited that like I'm in this video and all this stuff. And so it was a really good experience putting that out as my first song, because I didn't have an audience at all at that point. And so then after I released that, these like 80 people that had their picture in the lyric video felt like they were invested sort of in my music. And so it was a really great base of support that started listening to my music.
Speaking of high school, the cover art is your high school band uniform, right?
Yes. Okay, so
it's the purple.
I was just about to say, I literally was thinking through this interview, did she buy that outfit? Like, that's pretty impressive.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for asking about this, about the cover art.
I've been obsessed with it since I first asked you this question.
All of the cover art, all the promo pictures for this EP have been a huge labor of love, because my mom and I took all of them ourselves.
I love
that. And part of that was because of I'm broke, and the other part of it is because
same.
I had a very clear vision, and then there were also some unfortunate events that led around this time of deadlines I had to get things to. I had a publicist who was not very truthful with me. So I had to switch publicists in the middle of this EP launch. And so like dates when I had to submit things to my new publicist were like really quick. So I had to just like do the next photo shoot really quick and send her all the stuff for it. But anyways, it all worked out for the best, because my new publicist is like absolutely incredible. However, getting back to your original question, why is this purple? How did this happen? Part of the reason why one of my colors is purple is because purple was my school color growing up. And I felt like a really big connection to my hometown. And so that was sort of like a subtle way of doing that in my music, because purple was the color that I wore in all of when I was in basketball, when I was in band, all this stuff. And so it was sort of like a little homage to that. When I decided that I wanted to have an album EP called Glory Days, immediately I just had this vision of like a band uniform, that was what I wanted it to be. And I didn't know if we were going to be able to find a purple band uniform, because when I was in school, the band uniform was not purple. It was black and white that had like purple accents on it. So through a crazy, just like set of coincidences, my high school band was doing a fundraiser through selling old band uniforms at the time where I needed a purple band uniform.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. And I didn't know what they looked like. And at the time I lived in Chattanooga, and so I couldn't go in and look at them. So my mom went in and looked, and she just like freaked out. She sent me this thing. She's like, it's all purple. It's all purple.
Wow.
And so we got the jacket. And then we bought the jacket from them. We bought the hat. And it was also cool, because it was like a way to sort of like, we bought these from them. So it was a way to like support the band program. And we had to go through the Roane County School Board to get permission to like go and take photos on the field and in the school. And so we had a Saturday reserved for a few months of like trying, it was a few months process trying to get clearance to do this. And I had lined up my best friend, Chelsea, once again, the bonfire Chelsea, and the girl who really liked my song, First Love. And she was going to be the photographer to help me with this. And the day before the photo shoot, Chelsea got like really sick. She called me the night before and she said, I don't know if I have strep or if I have COVID, but there's no way I can come tomorrow. And so kind of freaked out a little bit because it was like the night before and like we had to go do it. And so we just like pushed on through. I used a self timer on my camera quite a bit. I did a whole lot of like getting the framing right on the camera and like having my mom stand in front of the camera and focusing it and then switching places with her. So I could get the vision exactly how I wanted it. But it's kind of funny because my mom is 5'4" and I'm 5'10". And so, that framing is not exactly the same when you're trying to do that. And so in a lot of like behind the scenes videos, like my mom was literally putting her hands over her head, like to add some inches so that I could focus the camera properly. And, so that is the story of how I was able to get a purple band uniform for this cover art.
It was meant to be.
And the whole day when we were doing the photo shoot, like we had gone to one of my old classrooms to take pictures. We were taking pictures in the hallway. We took pictures in the cafeteria, which is also the auditorium. It's called the cafetorium because it's a very small school. And the whole day, it was like nothing was going right. And then we went out on the field and I had this uniform on for the first time. And I was like, this is it. I haven't even seen the photos yet, but it was like, it had been like a dreary day. And then all of a sudden it was like blue skies, just like the nicest, fluffiest white clouds. And it was like everything lined up exactly how it needed to be for that to happen. And, so it's really cool. I've had a lot of people ask me like, why were you in a band uniform? But like, it just fits for me. I mean, I was in band in school. I played clarinet. It just like, if I was in a cheerleading uniform or like basketball uniform, even though I played basketball in high school, like it just wouldn't have felt as authentic. And I feel like band kids are a lot of times misunderstood. So it definitely fits more than like the popular sort of jock stereotype. So that's why this is like that.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Before we get kicked off again by Zoom, where can people find you and your music, and are CDs available to buy yet?
Yes, they are available to buy and I'm so excited about them. People can find me pretty much anywhere on social media at Rachel McIntyre Smith. And McIntyre is not spelled like Reba. It's spelled M-C-I-N-T-Y-R-E. I'm also on Twitter at McIntyre Smith with two H's on the end. And then you can buy CDs at rachelmcintyresmith.com. Or at my shows, which I will hopefully have a lot of shows coming up here soon. And side note, I'm doing my first ever radio campaign with The Woods. And so if people hear this and they like The Woods, call into your local Americana and NPR station and request it.
Awesome.
We will do so. Even though they're not technically local to us, but they don't need to know that.
Well, it's a nationwide campaign.
Okay.
So we have some stations in like Washington and California and places all over that are already playing it. So
nice.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it is really exciting. So yeah, call in, whoever people are listening, call in to your local station.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. This has been a lovely conversation. Congrats on the album release.
Thank you. I'm so excited about it. And thank you guys so much for having me back and talking with me about this. I followed you guys on social media for the past year and I love everything that you guys do. I love the podcasts you guys do. I was a fan before I came on the show the first time. I was a genuine fan. However, now I consider myself a super fan because I've listened to almost, if not every single one of your deep dives on like past artists and things like that.
Why does that make me nervous all of a sudden? Like, people listen to me? What if I got it wrong?
Bethann, I hate to tell you this, but we have a podcast.
with 30,000 downloads.
Yes.
30,000 people have judged me.
Isn't that scary?
That
like
is
sometimes, yes. Sometimes I see like the listener count and I'm like, wait, like, this is fake. Like, nobody's actually listening to me. Why are people hearing this? So I completely understand. But I've listened to it. So far, I've not found anything incorrect. Okay. However, I am taking every single word you say as gospel truth and not doing any research afterwards.
That should.
That may be a mistake later on down the road, but it works for right now.
Perfect. Well, yeah, I'm obsessed. Keep up the good work with all the stuff because it's really great content and I appreciate all the work you do to support artists like me too.
Thank you for listening. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you like this show. Special thanks to Death of Fawn for our intro riff. You can visit our website at shewillrockyou.com. There you'll find links to our social, the show notes, and a place where you can contact us. Other than that, don't do drugs.